final segment of the week here on Further Review on 107.9 The Franchise. And it's been a long week for many of the former employees of ESPN. Lots of jobs lost, lots of people thinking, am I next? And I would assume, guys, that for young and up-and-comers in the sports media world or people wanting to get into sports journalism, sports talk radio, sports casting on television, this might have taken them a little bit and scared them just a bit. So I thought, who else to call on but president of Barrett Sports Media, Jason Barrett himself, who covers and is engulfed in all things sports media. Jason, thanks for taking the time to out of your day to join us here on The Franchise. What did you make of the layoffs this week?
Well, Lauren, it's great to be with you. You know, I think like everyone in our business, you know, you never like to see that news. It's disheartening. You know, knowing a bunch of the people that were affected, you know, I've got some personal relationships there that make it a little tougher. But it also speaks to the reality of where the business is right now and some of the poor decisions that are made that you can't always foresee at the time. You know, if ESPN had lost the rights to the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball when they were up, we would have been killing the company for not holding on to those assets. But at the same time, when you make a bad business deal, it can ultimately come back to bite you. And when you look at the way cord cutting has taken place, if people are watching less TV and the company has spent a ton of money that they can't recover, right now they're looking at $6 billion a year that they've got to commit to between three play-by-play deals and losing $900 million, given the fact that they've lost 10 million subscribers in the last 3 years. And, you know, that's a big hole to climb out of. And so this is ultimately a reality of what happens when you pay too much and you start to lose revenue that you've been accustomed to taking.
Jason, those 10 million subscribers you referred to, where are they going?
They're watching on devices. You know, I equate this to what the newspaper business went through about a decade or two ago. You know, when the internet came around, everybody recognized that, yeah, the people are still going to read. It's not going to be that people are less interested. But what happened is everyone started to read the columns online. And when you're not putting a dollar in a newspaper's, you know, bank account every day, and on top of it, the advertising goes down in those spaces, all of a sudden, while people still like your content, there's a lot of revenue loss to do it. And so that's what's happening to ESPN. It's not that there's less interest in sports. You can make the case that, if anything, there's more interest now than ever in sports. But the reality is when you have $7 a month that comes your way from someone watching on TV, and all of a sudden they're watching on a phone or they're watching on an iPad and they're not giving you that money, that $7 you've got to make up for. And when you lose all those customers who you've been counting on, that's a lot of money to offset. And so that's the world that ESPN has to figure out now. Is how do they turn those digital platforms where people are invested in their content into higher revenue generators? And if they can't do that, then they've obviously got to trim expenses because that's the only other place where you can make things work.
Jason, as a 30-year newspaper guy, I lived through what you're talking about there with the slow decline of the newspaper industry. When we see news gatherers, long employed, well-respected news gatherers, who most of these guys I'm getting ready to name came from the newspaper industry, Ed Werder, Joe Shad,
right.
Andy Katz,
Brett McMurphy, came from the newspaper industry into television, changed what the ESPN model looked like, well-respected reporters, newsbreakers, kind of surprised guy like Adam Schefter's still around, you know. What does that say about where ESPN and television, sports on television and the product that we see, where are they headed?
You know, it's right now, that's the number one takeaway I had from the cuts. Outside of the economic realities, which, you know, while you hate to see it, you can understand that if you're losing a ton of money, you have to make up for it somehow. But the one thing that was frightening with all these cuts is I thought – it was a bad day for those who work in journalism. You know, you look at the number of cuts that came from reporting and writing. They were essentially telling you that there's more value in sensationalism and personality on television than there is in you know, good old-fashioned hard news and people who are able to write. Now, for guys like Adam Schefter, they built such a brand and they have done such a great job at owning that space that they're going to be exceptions. It's not like they're completely abandoning, you know, reporting and writing. But there's much less of an emphasis on it now than there was before. And, you know, if they feel that they're going to generate more money and more ratings with personality-driven programming, that's the direction they're going to go in. And unfortunately, there's a lot of quality people right now. Yeah. Like, you look at Jason Stark, Andy Katz, like, mm-hmm. there's some really talented people that are out there now. So it doesn't give me a good feeling at all to see some of those people who I think do have exceptional work out there. But clearly the moves made indicate that they believe that personality-driven programming is a bigger deal for the company.
For those people we're talking about, do you think there's going to be like a bidding war between Fox Sports and other people getting it? NFL Network, I thought, would be a great hire for Ed Werder, for instance. You think that, I mean, the future's got to be exciting for those folks that are really good at their job.
You know, here's the one thing I would tell you to keep in mind. It's easy to say, you know, Fox Sports 1, NFL Network, MLB Network. Like, if you're the MLB Network and you're not interested in Jim Bowden or Jason Stark, then I would wonder what you're doing from a decision process, because both of those guys bring value. But here's the thing that we don't know is, you know, if you go back 10 years ago, nobody thought of Bleacher Report ever becoming a, you know, a player in the digital space. We don't know what Amazon, Netflix, Apple, Google will wind up doing in the next 5-6 years. You know, Amazon just went all in on the NFL package. What if they get into sports? You know, Netflix just spent over $100 million to reunite the cast of Scarface. You know, if they don't have to go into sports tomorrow, they certainly have the revenue to do it. The question is, will they? Mm-hmm. And so I think, look, if you're talented and you can create content, and you've built a good brand, as Ed Werder, Jason Stark, and many of those guys have, then there will be opportunities out there. But clearly, you know, that they've got to change their work now, and they've got to go to work for someone brand new after having a nearly 2-decade-long run at a company that was well-respected and well-liked by many.
Our guest on this Friday afternoon is Jason Barrett from Barrett Sports Media. You can follow him on Twitter, also pretty much on all outlets, and it's a great read for those of us that follow in the sports media business here on the Franchise. Further review with Hoover and Rue. I'm Don King. Good to have you with us, Jason. Since my background is sales and on the air over the years and some play-by-play for different networks, so my question to you is, how much of an albatross are these rights to all these conferences, the Longhorn Network? How much is that to infiltrated ESPN to have to lay off these people? And what's the future down the road? Because a university like the University of Tulsa, that is the smallest Division I school in the country, has all of their games televised, which you have to love, yet it hurts them. I think they would tell you behind closed doors it hurts them a lot in attendance.
Yep. Well, I think, first of all, if you're the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA, you've clearly taken notice of the last 2.5 years, because this isn't the first bloodletting that the ESPN has had. They got rid of over 300 people back in 2015. So when it comes time to renegotiate these play-by-play deals, you know, ESPN paid double of what others were paying for football, which was crazy. And at the time, they said they don't agonize over these decisions. Well, I think if you ask them today, there'd be a different opinion. So I think ultimately where it leads to is these play-by-play deals, they just can't keep going up. And that's why I think a lot of the leagues are looking for those companies that are interested in digitally, because they're going to have to make up the revenue in other places. And so when you look at last year, Twitter paid $10 million for the NFL rights online. And now this year, Amazon's paying $50 million. Well, call me in 3 years, and I guarantee you we're not talking about $60 million. They're going to probably be looking at $100 to $150 million. Mm. And so the revenue is going to have to come from split resources in different locations. But I think ultimately TV distributors are going to have to bring these costs down, because it's already proven those are a hindrance to what they're trying to do. And when you mention like the Longhorn Network, the one thing that I think is fair to criticize of ESPN right now is we could put all the blame on the play-by-play deals, and yes, they are paying for that now. But they've also dabbled in a lot of other fringe things, like ESPNU, the Longhorn Network, the Undefeated. They've got 538. And at some point, you're going to protect your core first. And if your core is not intact, then, you know, how valuable are those other outlets? I'd much rather have one or two less of those and a great, healthy ESPN than have five or six different brands and my main focus in question right now.
Jason Barrett from Barrett Sports Media joins us here on Further Review on 107.9 The Franchise. Jason, with the decline, it seems, in the popularity of ESPN and the rise of programs on Fox Sports and others taking talent from ESPN, is there or will there be a new worldwide leader?
You know, I think here's the deal. I still believe the number one asset that any network will have is live play-by-play. People want to watch games. And so as long as ESPN has that intact, I think they're going to be okay. Now, that doesn't mean they'll be profitable, because if they're, you know, if everybody starts cutting the cord even more, that could hurt them, especially with what they're paying. But I think that's the one thing right now that separates them. Like, Fox Sports One's been building their network in a smart way, investing in high-profile talent. You know, some people are going to love or hate Skip Bayless, Colin Cowherd, and those type of guys. But the bottom line is they generate some reaction. What they don't have right now is the play-by-play. And ultimately, I think you need both. Now, in 3 to 4 years, when some of these deals come up, if ESPN is not healthy, do I think others will be at the table and vying for those services? Yes. And if Fox Sports One is able to grab the NBA or Major League Baseball away, that could certainly shift the balance of power. But I think right now, until ESPN doesn't have one of those play-by-play, I don't think there's going to be enough of an audience, from Monday to Friday, 6 in the morning to 7 o'clock at night, that's going to be able to help one of those groups overtake a brand as powerful as ESPN.
Jason, 10 years ago, we didn't know what Twitter was. Netflix was just something that you could rent
and get in the mail.
Get in the mail in your mailbox, and you had to put all that stuff. Where do you think? I mean, look into the crystal ball for us. What's next for media, for sports media, for broadcast, and the newspaper industry? I mean, we see how so much of the newspaper industry now is on the web. What do you think is next?
Well, this is where I've been waiting for Facebook for a long time to leap into the space, because look, they are the newspaper now. Everybody wakes up, first thing you do is you check your Facebook or your Twitter account.
Yeah.
And you read the news of the day through everyone else. And so they've clearly become the news content source. What they haven't done is said they want to be a play-by-play rights provider. Well, if they did, and they've already, launched the initiative of Facebook Live, which has caught on, I think that could instantly change a lot of things. I think Amazon has got worldwide distribution. And clearly the way they've built their Prime programming has been excellent. And so those are two groups that I keep my eye on. The one thing that I caution people is a lot of times we're always looking for that new thing. And when someone says they're going to leap in, we assume it's going to be a perfect fit and become the next big thing. And, I thought that last year with Twitter, how many people talk about sports on Twitter, and doing the deal with the NFL, we thought, okay, this will be great. It was good, but it wasn't great. And the same thing happened with Apple. Apple jumped into the music business and decided to launch Apple Beats, and everyone said, uh-oh, music stations are in trouble now because Apple's in it and everyone's got an iPhone. Well, they haven't become the music, leader yet. So, a lot of these things, it's not whether or not they leap into it. It takes 5 to 10 years before they really develop it to the point where you can really get a handle on it. So I think you had to keep your eye on the companies like Amazon, like Netflix, who showed that they're committed to original programming and clearly have been profitable to the point where they can go into this space and compete with the ESPNs of the world. But if Facebook ever leaped in there, that could really change a lot of things, because I think they have such a connection with people these days that if they got into the live space of play-by-play, it would certainly put a lot of sports networks on notice.
Jason Barrett is with us from Barrett Sports Media. He recently had a great article on sports branding, which everybody is certainly trying to find their niche with regard to the social media and whatnot. And we're always looking at John's Twitter numbers and his hits on our website for the stories that John Hoover covers. I would imagine your biggest attraction on the stories that you've covered has to be the Tony Romo, Phil Sims situation. What was your take on that?
That one did pretty well. The ones that surprise me all the time are, you know, I did a poll on ESPN and, you know, how people felt about the brand, and that thing took off even more than I imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because there's such a fascination with, you know, the high-profile people and the brand. So as it applies to Romo and Sims, you know, my thing is everybody freaks out the second any change is made because we're creatures of habit. And we haven't heard Tony Romo even utter a sentence yet, and we've already declared that he can't do the job. So, well, you know, I don't think Sean McManus, who runs CBS, became, you know, foolish overnight. Now, does that mean that Tony's going to be as, you know, great on day one like he will in week 15? No, he's going to go through some bumps. But let's be honest. Fox has done a pretty strong job from an NFL play-by-play standpoint. And CBS, you know, Sims, I think Phil Sims is excellent at what he does. But he does get killed a lot for it, and they needed to bring in some fresh blood there. So taking a chance, I think, is smart. If this were Peyton Manning, you know, Tony has to strike while the iron's hot. If he waits a year and Peyton decides, you know what, I do want to do TV, or Brett Favre says, you know what, maybe I do need to do something because I'm bored now, Tony Romo's not getting that job. So he strikes while the iron's hot. Sean McManus feels they can coach him up, and now it's up to Tony to deliver. But if he approaches the craft the way he has his career, I think he'll be okay.
Jason, appreciate the knowledge and the time today. Oh, DK,
I got one more.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just want to interject that he also did a recent deal on basically the top 100, I think the top 100 sports personalities in radio, and ranks a lot of the sports stations. If you ever do one on females, because I don't
say,
know
where
how
was the
many...
estrogen on there, Jason? I was checking it out. There was too much testosterone on that list. I'm glad you brought that up, DK.
If you ever do one on women in sports media, this lady over here does a great job and certainly needs to be considered for somebody, one of the very few that actually leads a sports radio station and hosts
Thank
the show.
Thank you, DK.
So,
appreciate that.
Keep her in mind.
Well, I will add this. I do think Lauren does exceptional work. Now, you could get me started on this subject, and I'd put your listeners through another hour of it, because I think as a bigger issue, this format as a whole needs to do a much better job at putting female personalities on the air.
Well, we still got 10 minutes, Jason. Let's keep that conversation going, then. No, we'll bring you back for that, for sure.
You got it. That's a conversation I've had with many people, and I think, you know, look, as an industry, we always got to be looking for ways to get better, and that's clearly one that, as an industry, we could do a much better job of.
Jason, great stuff. We really appreciate the time. Have a wonderful weekend, and let's chat again soon.
You got it. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thanks, Jason.